Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am Ghost Joe.
And I'm Creepy Ken.
That was, I don't know which kind of creepy that was, but that was creepy.
It
definitely was creepy.
A lot of levels. Yeah, a lot of levels. Lots.
So this is going to be our season finale. We wanted to do something special, but then we realized it's just going to be the two of us. So, you know, you get what you get, you know.
We are special, so.
It's like my kids learned in school. You get what you get and you don't get upset. All right.
That's right.
That's, you know, or turn us off.
I tell my wife that every once in a while.
So
only on the special nights.
Right. So we're going to be talking about something pretty cool tonight. We're going to be talking about the Mothman. It's an infamous cryptid. And yeah, man, I'm excited to talk about this guy. And to learn a little bit, I know you know a lot more about this this creepy bastard than I do. So why don't you get started, man?
Yeah. So I absolutely love the Mothman, and I've had my own encounters in Point Pleasant. I've been through there several times. And Joe, let me tell you this story. I don't know if I ever told this on the podcast, but I want to start by this. So I'm in Point Pleasant. I was working. And I rolled through Point Pleasant, looked at the statue. It was cool. And then went to go eat some lunch at a McDonald's, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting at this McDonald's, and I'm eating a salad because I was probably on a diet at the time, you know? And I remember it was very underwhelming. And all of a sudden, I look out the window, and the parking lot's just full of vans from different news places. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on out here? Right. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get out of the parking lot because my car is parked over there. So I finished up eating, of course, because, you know, it's not going to,
you got to finish eating.
The fat kid in me is going to keep eating. No matter. It doesn't matter if the building's on fire.
Right.
I finished eating and got that last, you know, grape tomato in, and threw my stuff away and walked out, and there's a news lady standing there, and I said, am I going to be able to get out? And she goes, oh yeah, just ask them to move. And I said, okay. I said, what's going on? And she said, oh, there's a Mothman sighting. I said, what?
Wow.
She goes, there's a Mothman sighting. Like 100 people called this in, so we're all here trying to get the Mothman. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, wow. So it was kind of cool, you know, so that made me look up. And then a couple days later, I saw it. I looked it up and saw it. It was pretty cool. It definitely looked like a Mothman in the sky. Some guy took a picture of it. So yeah,
that's pretty sick. That is very, very cool. And when was that? What year was that again?
Oh man. Let's see. That had to be 12, 13 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a while back, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. I wish I would have seen it myself, but, you know,
that's
didn't get
very,
that lucky.
Cool. Actually, let me just say this too. I should have said it before we got into the Mothman thing, but I told you I don't want to go into a thing because Al and I are going to do a little segment about it. But I had actually went on a ghost investigation to a private house last week, and it was pretty awesome. So everybody, just stay tuned for like a little bonus thing that I'm going to throw out there. With me and Al talking about it. He invited me along, and it was just me and him doing the investigation. And it was very, very cool. I learned a lot. So, I just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, so you're going to be that guy. I tell a cool story, and you come over and go, oh, cool story, bro, but check this out. You're going to be that guy right now.
I mean, I don't have a cryptid sighting, you know.
Nah, I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you.
We'll talk off the air. Okay. We're going to talk off the air. No, but no, I mean, that's really cool though, man. That's really cool. Yeah, I wish you would have seen it.
Yeah, me too.
That would have been cool. Like I say in almost every episode, I'm always looking to try and find a Bigfoot or a cryptid or something like that. You know, haven't found anything like that yet, but hopefully soon. Hopefully one day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
I'll run into one of them. You know, I'll ask him to take a selfie or something with me.
Heck yeah! All right, so I don't want to get this confused with, there were some Chicago sightings. You know, Chicago had its own Mothman sighting about 5 years ago, and they really aren't connected as far as I can tell. But I'll give you a little background into the Mothman of Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Of course, you know, there was a big Hollywood movie made with Richard Gere and gerbils and
the young old
yeah
guy.
There were gerbils involved. Yeah,
he always looked old.
Yeah,
even when he was probably like 8 years old. Yeah,
you're not gonna laugh at my gerbil hair. Joke. Did that just go over your head? What the hell, man, what's going on?
I thought everybody had a gerbil story. isn't that like, yeah, a normal, well, thing?
Yeah, sure, it's true,
right? I mean,
it's true. I heard you can fit a whole raccoon. I just,
wow.
One of the guys told me that at work.
You've heard that?
Or talking about it at work today. I don't know.
Heard it from a friend?
Yeah. I was like, a whole raccoon. That's interesting.
That's, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't know which end.
That could get dicey.
That could get rough.
Dicey.
Yeah. It's you know, to be honest
literally.
With you, I don't even know the actual story of the whole gerbil thing with Richard
I really
King.
Don't either.
Not to get completely, you no. don't either. I just know that there was some gerbil connection with Richard Gere and his ass. You know, that's pretty much, I guess that's all you kind of need to know. You know, I don't really need to know the specifics, you know.
Yeah, yeah, me either. I don't really want to know them. Yeah. I kind of want to know what color gerbil it was, but other than that, I mean, what?
Maybe it was like one of those after. White and tan ones, like the white and light brown ones, maybe?
It
Are they like hamsters?
It depends
I don't know,
on if it's you before know? Or after, I guess. Okay. Oh, we're getting off the beat.
Go there. On right. with Mothman.
So Point Pleasant is a small town in Mason County, West Virginia. It's located like right across the river, Ohio River. And in the mid-1960s, it had a population of around 6,000 people. So it's not a big town. Still really isn't a big town at all. It's mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you're walking back in time when you go in this town. It's really pretty cool. So there were several areas that this thing was known to be spotted at. A TNT area. It's also referred to as the McClintock Wildlife Management Area. So it's 2,500 acres, and it was formerly a World War II munitions plant that had abandoned concrete igloos and tunnels and all kinds of bunkers in a very rural area. And they did that on purpose so that, you know, if anybody flew over to spy, they wouldn't be able to spot these things. There is a bridge that goes across. There was a bridge that goes across. There still is. You can actually see parts of the old bridge, but we'll get into the old bridge later. For the purposes of this, it was 1966, November 2nd, or not November. Second, I'm sorry, I messed up. November 15th was the first official sighting. All right, and Silver Bridge was connecting Ohio to West Virginia across the Ohio River. The Ohio River is gigantic, and it's really shrouded with a lot of mysterious and weird things. That whole area is. I want to start by talking about Woodrow Derenberger. Have you ever heard of this guy?
Just in my research on this, actually.
Yeah, so you don't watch my TikTok. See how you are?
Oh, man. Wow, I just got caught, man. I just got caught.
Yeah, I know. We did.
Damn.
So Woody Derenberger, he had a very famous encounter. Now, this encounter took place on November 2nd, 1966, And a lot of people consider that the start of the whole Mothman thing. Now, I don't really know if they're connected at all, but it's really strange. Okay. So Woodrow Derenberger was a traveling sales guy. And he was going home late at night. It was like 2 a.m, I think, going down Route 77, which is the main highway that connects. It basically goes from the very tippy top of Ohio all the way down and ends here in South Carolina. And that's where we, when we go home, that's the way we go. It was 26 to 77.
Cool.
And it's a straight shot. Yeah. So he was driving near Mineral Wells, West Virginia, and he's driving along 77, and you know, there aren't many cars on the highway in 1966 at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he pulls up, rolls up on a cigar-shaped craft that was landed in the middle of the road.
Huh.
And he has to stop. He's forced to stop. So he stops his car and watches this very tall, lanky man get out of the car and comes walking over to his window, and his window was up, and he proceeded to have an entire conversation with this man telepathically.
I do remember this TikTok. I posted this one recently, actually. This one's one of the new ones. Yes.
So
go on.
The entity that he was speaking with told him that his name was Indrid Cold,
mm-hmm.
and that he came from a planet called Lanulos. And I think a lot of people connect it because the geography from this encounter and the Point Pleasant encounter is really close. And the timeline is right there. I mean, November 2nd, 1966, and then the first Mothman encounter was November 15th, 1966. So just a matter of really, you know, 13 days.
Okay.
So November 15th. Two gravediggers in Gallipolis, Ohio, saw a large black, what they called a birdman, fly over their heads in the evening while they were digging a grave. And then we had the first widely reported sighting that involved two young married couples, Roger and Linda Scarberry, and Steve and Mary Millette.
Okay.
So around 11:30 p.m., they were driving near the TNT area, and they were in Scarberry's 1957 Chevy when they saw what they described as a large creature standing near an abandoned power plant. I said the creature stood 6 to 7 feet tall. It had really large wings that were folded against its back, and it had huge, large.
Okay. All right. I mean, hey,
they're hugely large.
I have a few hugely large things as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I bet you do. Especially when you squeeze them and cut off the blood circulation. Then, yeah. Anyway, they're probably red too, because so are these eyes if you do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they saw these hugely large reflective eyes that they said were somewhat hypnotic. They said the creature's body was gray and it shaped like a man. And it appeared to have no head, with the eyes set into its shoulders or its chest area.
Hmm.
So they, of course, got freaked out, because who the hell wouldn't?
Right, of course, yeah.
So they took off, and they were doing speeds of nearly 100 miles per hour. And the creature spread its wings and took off after him. They said it made no flapping motion or anything. It just glided through the air.
Wow.
And they also said that it kept pace with them along Route 62 back towards Point Pleasant. And they went, after this encounter, they went directly to the Mason County Courthouse, and they reported the incident to Deputy Millard Halstead, I think his name was. Halstead, something like that. And he said that they were genuinely frightened, like something scared the hell out of them. So after that, November 16th, Halstead and other officers investigated the TNT. Jeez, why am I having such a hard time talking?
You're tired, man. You've been working all week.
I am tired. Yeah. So they went out to the TNT area and they started investigating, and found absolutely nothing. But that same night, several other sightings were reported.
Wow.
So Marcella Bennett encountered the creature near the TNT area while visiting her friends. She was getting out of her car, and she had her infant daughter with her, and she saw the figure rise up from the ground behind her parked car. She dropped her baby, actually, wow. during this whole thing. She was so frightened. The baby was unharmed, and she froze in terror before, you know, her friends helped her back inside the house because they heard a commotion out there and went and saw her, and she was freaked out, so they helped her back in the house. And then another encounter was Raymond Wamsley. He and his wife were among the ones that witnessed the kind of the same thing. They saw the creature on a road, or I'm sorry, they saw the creature on a roof of a house nearby as they were driving by. So it's kind of crazy. Anyway, I got a whole timeline here. You can stop me whenever you want, man.
No, go on, man. You're doing great, actually. It's pretty insane too, man. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but there's also a sound that's been associated with it too, right? Like it has like some kind of shriek that people have heard.
Yeah, I've heard that from several, I've heard that from several people, but I wasn't able to find anything with any of the witnesses that actually said they heard that.
So what are your thoughts that this encounter might not have been a Mothman? I mean, because there are like giant birds, you know, especially in rural areas like that, you know, for example, the sandhill crane has a wingspan of 6 to 7 feet. Which is almost as big as a 10 feet span. You know, I mean, it's still 3 feet is still a big deal, but it's still, you know, if you're looking at something really, it's kind of like, I don't even know what they call it, but it's like the witness effect. You know what I mean? Like you could put something, a crime will happen in front of, you know, three different people, and three different people are going to have three different descriptions. You know, so it's like, yeah, it could have been 8 feet tall, or it could have been 10 feet tall. I mean, if it was in the air flying, you really can't tell how big this thing could have actually have been.
Very true.
You know,
very true, but it wasn't always in the air.
Okay.
Which I mean, when they first saw it, the first couple saw it, it was standing by the TNT area.
Right.
And that's when they made the judgment. And then the other, you know, the woman that saw it rise up behind her car when she was taking her baby out. I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't in the air. And then it was on the house, top of a roof of a house. I mean, you can kind of guess how big something is if it's on a roof of a house. You know what I mean? And you know, the thing that I want to say about the whole, the sandhill crane, is that what they call it?
Yeah, yes.
Is that. Yeah, sandhill cranes are big there, and they do have kind of red patches around their eyes. Right. But I don't think they'd necessarily be reflective, and they aren't really nocturnal creatures either.
Okay.
Plus, I just want to defend this a bit, because everybody in West Virginia is an outdoorsy, woodsy person. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know it. There aren't really any really big. There are a couple. Morgantown, you know, the college town, Charleston, but they're still kind of not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're still kind of not. You can live in one of those areas and walk two blocks down the road and be in the woods. You know, walk straight up a mountain. You know,
right.
I'm fairly certain that if it was a sandhill crane and they had their headlights fixed on it or whatever, I'm sure they've all seen a sandhill crane before. You know, like I live in South Carolina. I've seen an alligator before. I'm not going to mistake it for the lizard man. You know,
right.
it's an alligator,
right.
You know? So I hate when there are such things as misidentifications. I get it, but they've got to make sense in, yeah, I would say that if these people weren't in the area, if they hadn't lived in the area all their lives and hadn't seen Sandhill Crane before, sure, might scare the hell out of you. Might misidentify it. But, I mean, they lived there their whole lives, right. You know?
Yeah.
So that's what I about that theory, I think it's dumb. I think it's a dumb theory. But it's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's also another animal that's just as big that actually somebody that I was trying to interview a few years back had tried to say that they were this was a cryptid, and I ended up scrapping the interview. But the shoebill stork is also a gigantic freaking bird, 4 to 5 feet tall, wingspan 8 feet. You know, but like you're saying, I mean, these people are outdoorsy people. And you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here. But it's a crazy thing, man. I mean, especially when they said that like the eyes were kind of like in the chest area, which kind of resembles a moth, you know, like that's kind of like how a moth looks. I guess that's how he got his name. And then this guy, the Woodrow Derenberger, when he met this, like this alien guy, right? I think they called him the Grinning Man. That's like the nickname, right?
Indrid Cold,
right?
Yep, they did.
Yeah, the Indrid Cold. And he, like, do you think? Because a lot of people associate the Mothman with a whole slew of things, you know, UFO sightings happened during this whole month of sightings, UFO sightings, Men in Black sightings happened,
all at the same time.
Yeah, and I mean this goes back to actually, I mean I've said it a couple times, but you say it a lot, where a lot of this stuff is connected, you know.
Yep.
It's just what's crazy to me though is that. All right, well, all this happened in 1966. How come it hasn't happened since? How come this doesn't happen? You know what I mean? Unless maybe it does and we just don't put two and two together anymore. I don't know. You know, I mean, the thing is nowadays people are afraid or either people are afraid to say things because they don't want to seem crazy or in any way it's almost like it's people are desensitized from it. Because it's so much in the news and it's so much, you know, on TV and all this stuff. Like, oh, yeah, I saw a ghost. Like, yeah, all right, buddy, who hasn't? You know, like, it's not really much of a big deal anymore, you know? But that also brings me to the point, like, nowadays, if you say, all right, I saw a Bigfoot, everybody's going to be like, ah, that's great. You're not going to get 15 minutes of fame anymore for that. You know, like, it's not a big deal anymore. It's like, yeah, okay, great. You know, so why are you going to lie about something if it's not going to get you anywhere? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, going back to your comment of why haven't we seen it since, that is null and void in my mind because it has appeared in different areas, in different times since. It just doesn't.
Well.
Get as much attention as this main story does because the main story is really much bigger.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is why hasn't a whole month of Mothman, UFO, and Men in Black sightings happened since? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, like why I could get down with the fact that, you know, Mothman has been sighted for sure. You know, of course, UFOs and Men in Black. Yeah. You know, but how come we haven't heard of, you know, a month in, you know, 2019 where all this stuff happened, you know?
Sure. Give me a second. Yeah. Watch this.
Uh-oh.
Doo-doo-doo. I'm using my little magic box in front of my face.
Magic box. Okay.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
So let's go to Chicago in 2011.
Okay.
Multiple eyewitness sightings of the Mothman in Chicago. Okay. And it went all the way to 2017 when it really started intensifying. And things were a little bit different because there were a lot more, I don't know how to explain it. It was, it was a little bit different because it was telepathically, I think, communicating. There's a lot of weird paranormal stuff happening during then. So it has happened. It has happened. I mean, okay. I interviewed Tobias Whalen,
okay.
who was investigating the Chicago Mothman. I mean, in depth, he was there all the time investigating it. And he's got some stories about it, you know, like, and without giving too much away about that, because I really feel like it's a separate incident. But I don't really know if it's the same thing, but I've also said that over the years, phenomena seems to change, even though it's a very similar, you know, I mean, elves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fairies, you know,
mermaids,
UFOs, aliens. Yeah. It's all kind of morphed. And I think that's it's changing with the times, you know, I really believe that it's changing with the times to be relevant and current. That's how I feel about it.
Now, do you think that the Mothman in this time that he was in Chicago, do you think he might have wanted to get some deep dish, you know, pizza? Is that, I heard that was pretty popular over there in Chicago.
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I do. Well, I would be.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's, you know. No, but
I definitely would be.
actually, and in my research of the Mothman, I actually came across a term that I've actually never heard before, even throughout my entire 5-year paranormal podcast adventure. Okay. I haven't heard this term before, that beings from another dimension is called ultra-terrestrial.
Ultra-terrestrial.
I've never heard that term before. I know extraterrestrial. Really? Of course, we know extraterrestrial. But I've never heard ultra-terrestrial. I like that. I like that term.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. That's a cool term.
I think that was a John Keel term, wasn't it? And John Keel coined that, I think. Right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Okay. Yeah, that's how I came across it doing the research for this. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this story's it's really a cool story because, and I'm sure everybody out there knows it, but I'll just hit up a little bit more of this timeline just to walk us through to the main boiling point.
Yeah, tell me about the bridge and all that stuff, because I know about the movie. Cool. You know, that's you know the movie, Mothman Prophecies.
So there are several more sightings, November 24th and 25th. Thomas Urey, who was a shoe salesman, saw the creature in a field. Near Route 62 in the morning during the day.
Wow.
Rose up and followed his car with glowing red eyes. I really botched that.
You're tired, man. You are tired.
I am tired, and I'm a few vodka and cokes in, so it helps a little bit, you know.
Sure.
And then November 26th, a lady named Ruth Foster saw it standing in her front lawn in Charleston.
Wow.
And Charleston is the state capital there. And that's almost 50 miles away from this whole incident. So that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Let's see. The 27th, Connie Carpenter spotted the creature near the TNT area while she was driving with friends. In December of 1966, Richard West of Charleston saw it standing in his yard. So it wasn't just tied to Point Pleasant at that point.
Wow.
This thing's moving, you know. It just went on and on and on. There was a, you know, I think it was depicted in the movie that the woman saw it standing as she was in her kitchen. She saw it standing in her yard. That was actually an encounter as well. She actually got welding burns on her eyes from seeing this.
Wow. Holy crap.
So, yeah, it was like sunburned eyes.
That's
like,
insane.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
So, you know, it all boils down to a whole bunch of witnesses seeing it. And then the final straw was the collapse of the Silver Bridge in December. It was actually Christmas Eve, which is crazy, in 1966. And I forget how many people died, man. I don't know off the top of my head. So, yeah, I'm too vodka and coked up to look at it. not Coke, Coca-Cola.
Yeah, okay? Of course. We don't condone drinking.
I don't do that. I can't even breathe through my nose. I couldn't imagine trying to, last time, Joe, I did coke,
Right.
I got so frustrated because my ice cube kept getting caught in my straw.
That happens, man. That happens,
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah.
Anyway, stupid jokes. So yeah, the silver
they get worse as we get really as we get more tired. They get worse. So
true. So yeah, after the bridge collapse, it kind of disappeared.
Wow,
for a while, and that is when the Men in Black stuff started happening. I believe was right after that.
Wow.
So, and that was crazy because that was really one of the very first, I guess, Keel's documentation of that was because he was there investigating when all this happened. But there were so many weird things. That was like one of the first heavily documented Men in Black experiences or cases on record.
Wow.
They're sitting there in people's living rooms asking them what forks were and what they used them for.
And
just asking crazy mundane questions that just make no sense,
Yeah, I actually, when I went to California, I love California, by the way. Put it in out there. I love it. The last time I went out there, which was freaking 15 years ago, actually, now. Time goes by so fast, man. I actually saw the Men in Black. I saw two of them. And when I pointed it out to my friend, I'm like, yo, look at that. It's the Men in Black. Will Smith came over and smacked me and said, that's my wife. He said, keep my wife's name out of my mouth. So I just walked away.
Did it hurt?
It was a bitch slap. It was all right.
Yeah. That was the fakest slap I've ever seen in my life. That was the biggest movie slap I've ever seen in my life.
Was it you that told me about that was actually from somewhere else? There's actually a skit from, no, there was actually another occurrence, and it's so crazy. I don't know if it's AI generated or whatever, but people are saying that there was this thing that happened in like an old Oscars, thing or like a movie or something like that, where a guy came up and slapped another guy on the stage.
Interesting.
And it was like almost mirrored, like the exact same slap and everything. It almost mirrored it, like it was totally staged. It was so weird. You got to look that up. It's insane.
But, I will.
But no, man, that's a tragedy. I mean, they say that the Mothman, obviously it's a curse. People say that the legend was from 1777, the Shawnee chief Cornstalk, in Point Pleasant, and he was murdered by soldiers. And the quote, of the legend, it says that he died, he cursed the land by saying, "May the strength of its people be paralyzed by the stain of our blood." I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just weird that 200 years later that all this stuff was happening.
Yeah, so Chief Cornstalk was pretty much double-crossed by soldiers, and that's why he cursed the land. It's a crazy story. That's a whole nother thing. We should do an episode on that. Mm. Because I'm going to put that on the list.
Definitely.
The Curse of Chief Cornstalk. Because this is something I know quite a bit about. Because my Cleveland Browns, that's supposed to be part of that curse.
Wow.
Why they are so terrible is because of the curse goes all the way up the whole Ohio Valley, they call it. He cursed the land all the way up through the Ohio Valley.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's being a Cleveland Browns fan as long as I have, I believe that shit. That shit's real. Trust me. Chief Cornstalk screwed us all. Can't have a good damn football team because of that guy. Somebody, yeah. Man, don't get me started on Chief Cornstalk.
Yeah, that guy's a dick.
What a dick. I mean, God
You know,
can I just have one fucking season, Chief Cornstalk? Just one?
Like I try, man. I try not to, you know, I try to keep this, you know, like, you know, sort of PG-13, but no, it never happens.
There's nothing PG-13 about me, man. I mean, there's really not. Yeah.
I mean, look. I mean, people wholeheartedly believe in these curses and stuff. We'll have to do. Actually, that's another thing too. We'll do a whole episode on curses and stuff because we haven't done that yet. Or at least maybe we'll either you know, like pick a few like, you know, very famous curses or just throw a couple together, or we could just do, you know, a few of the bigger ones, you know, in separate ones. But yeah, curses are a big thing, man. You know, a lot of people believe in that stuff. So,
yeah.
But, you know, do you feel though that, like, if you look at the human element of this, right? It was a small town in Virginia. You know, the Vietnam.
West Virginia.
I'm sorry, West Virginia. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Different. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Excuse me. West Virginia. You know, it was a small town. The Vietnam War was ramping up and stuff. And I mean, there was literally an explosive manufacturing plant, you know, right there. Could the Mothman have been like a tulpa, which I just learned, you know, recently from Creepy Ken?
Who taught you that?
or a psychological manifestation, maybe, of like the town's, you know, anxiety? Like, could it have been maybe just like a mass thing, you know, like just, you know, it was a lot of tension going on then, you know, I mean, it might not have been, maybe it was just, you know, a mass hysteria kind of sighting, you know, I mean,
there are lots of theories out there. One of the ones that I like is that it was some kind of, so that TNT plant had been there since, God, 1946, I think, or 42, I think.
Right.
Something like that. Anyway, it may have been there longer. I don't know. I'm just guessing, but it had to be around World War II, right?
Yeah.
So, and it had been closed for, like, ever. And they left a lot of supplies and stuff there. In those, the bunkers are still locked, as far as I know, some of them. But they're saying, what if some of those chemicals or whatever they were using had seeped into the marsh that's over there and it created some sort of
like hallucinogenic type thing.
No, not even that. What if it, some kind of hybrid creature, you know, from like maybe it was a sandhill crane, only it's now, you know,
some kind of mutated, you know,
because
thing.
Of the chemicals. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I mean, there's also, I mean, because you also got to think about this too, right? If there was a TNT thing, you know, the explosive, you know, factory or whatever it was over there. The other thing too is that birds, I mean, they can't really fly 100 miles an hour without flapping wings. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have to have that momentum to flap it, you know, to go fast. You know, kind of it's kind of impossible for birds not to. Do you think maybe it could have been, you know, the military, you know, trying different prototypes of things too? You know,
it, man, I don't put anything past the government and the military.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Right. I know.
I don't. So who knows, man? I mean,
it's a really, really, really cool story. I mean, it's terrible that, you know, people had died from that bridge collapse. And, you know,
46 died.
Yeah. I mean, whether it was, you know, due to the Mothman or just, you know, poor construction, you know, that was a terrible tragedy altogether. But it's just crazy that all these people had these experiences basically for that amount of time, you know. And then I know we've said that, like, it's happened since. But was there like a big gap from like that, you know, December 1967 to like maybe the next time it was, you know, it was shown?
You know, I haven't really looked because it gets a little muddy. All right. Okay. Now it gets a little muddy because you don't know what to take as gospel anymore,
right?
Because people have made so much shit up on, creepy pasta and whatever else is out there, message boards out there, that you really don't know what to believe, because there were things that people were saying that, you know, it was spotted in Russia right before this disaster and right before that disaster. But I really don't think this thing, I think that I truly believe that this was just a coincidence.
Okay.
That it happened during near the time of the bridge collapse.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that was a coincidence that happened, and it had nothing to do. It wasn't a harbinger of doom or anything like that. I really just think it was a coincidence,
right?
Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a messenger, but it doesn't make sense that it was scaring the hell out of people. You'd think it'd be scaring people the hell off the bridge instead.
right.
But it wasn't doing that, you know? So I don't like that theory that it's some creature that's telling people of impending doom. I don't like that at all. I just think that happened to be a coincidence, man.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's talk about the book, The Mothman Prophecies. It came out in 1975, John Keel. The movie came out in 2002 with, as we said, you know, the gerbil-loving...
Gerbil Gear.
Richard Gere. Yep. And you know what? There's actually a festival, an annual Point Pleasant festival. It's the third weekend of September with the Mothman. These towns love that stuff, because when they have a local legend like that, they do this, and it drives a lot of business towards them, you know? They kind of celebrate it instead of having it as like this bad omen type thing. And people come there and they have a great time, you know? Over here, we have the Pine Bush UFO and Paranormal Museum, and they have a festival every year. I was unable to make it this year. John Wright, who is with us with the podcast, he actually spoke this year too, and I wasn't able to attend. But they do a great job, and all these people come out and they sell their stuff, and they sell all sorts of things about UFOs, and I'm sure it's the same thing with this Mothman Festival as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they sell all Mothman, you know, merchandise and memorabilia, and it, you know, brings some business to the small community. So it's pretty cool. And then there's
a museum there too.
Yeah. 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 I was reading that up. I was reading that as well. It's the world's only Mothman Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. It's cool that they embraced it, you know?
Yeah. That statue is pretty sweet. It's pretty dope, man. That statue is dope. And let me tell you what, the ass on that thing, any man would kill for the ass that's on that.
It's muscular. I'm not saying like a muscular, you know.
No, yeah. It's like a nice. It's like a bodybuilder ass. I'm like, damn, man. Like,
I mean, hey, if the Mothman comes around and sees the statue, he's gonna be like, oh, all right, you know,
he's gonna be like, all right, dude, yeah, you guys impressed me with that ass, like,
but is the other side just as impressive? That's the thing.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's like a Ken doll.
Man, see, that's that's where he's gonna get a little angry. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll curse the land again. wow.
You know what though? It makes sense though, if you think about it. Because, you know, have you ever seen a moth with balls before? Because
no,
we use those to keep creatures away with stinky smells.
But
they cut off.
But let's talk about this though. Okay, he didn't name himself the Mothman. People that saw him named him the Mothman.
I just told a damn good joke, and you just
I'm trying to speak up for the Mothman.
A mothball joke. A mothball joke. And you skimmed right over it.
I'm sorry.
How do you skip a mothball? Why are mothballs...
Go ahead.
Never
mind. I want to hear your joke. Please.
It was. I can't go now. I can't flow. It's like, you know,
you can't do it now. You can't do
it. Yeah, man. It's not hard anymore. I can't do it.
Oh man.
Sorry. You did this. I prepared. You did this to us. You did this to us. All right.
It happens. Your fault. It happens to everybody. Okay. It happens to everybody.
I promise next time we'll be better.
Oh, man. Why do we always go off on this crap? But you know what?
Well,
fine.
I mean,
so anyway, I mean, what was the, let's get back to this thing.
Was the what?
What was the most recent sighting of the Mothman?
I believe that was the West Virginia, or I'm sorry, the Chicago.
Okay. Okay.
That was going on. And I'm not certain if that's, I'm not sure if that's still going on or not. It's a really bizarre encounter over there.
Right.
And I think there's more than one.
Wow. Wow. And like, yeah. Are the descriptions like identical to the ones that were in the 60s as well? In West Virginia?
No, I think they're a bit different. I think they're a bit different. From talking to Tobias, he said he doesn't believe they're connected at all.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think we should save that for maybe another episode.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's a huge story too.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we're probably coming to a close now anyway with this episode.
Oh, are we? Now, can I tell my joke
now? Go ahead, man. I wanted you to tell your joke.
No, I'm done.
Now you don't want to do it now? The moment's passed.
What's the point?
Sorry.
What's the point?
Sorry. I'll light some candles next time and we'll try again, okay?
Okay.
I'll set the mood.
Some of that and, candle wax, you know, on me.
Play
get
some
me going again.
Luther Vandross and stuff, and yeah, well,
yeah, well, little candle wax around the nips, get me going again.
So, anyway, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the, our season finale, and we have awesome stuff coming up for the next season, and we're gonna be delving into a couple of extra things as well, that I kind of ran from for the whole 5 years of my podcast. And we're going to kind of, you know, ease our way into it. You know, ease our way.
Oh,
ease,
man,
easy,
here we go
easy
again.
Does
get
it.
Me up there again. You know, I'm about to tell the joke.
You want to ease into it because you can't just go straight in,
yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah, you got to spit on it a little bit
You
first.
Know, you have to ease on in.
That's what she
know?
Said.
And... But so, yeah, we have some great, great stuff coming up in the next season. I can't think of the date that we're going to start it, but it's going to be in January. We're taking the holidays off and, kind of letting Ken get settled into his current situation that he's in right now and stuff. And
got a new job.
That's it. That's it. He's got it. He's got a new job. So, you know, we'll be back soon, and please check out all of our other stuff. And we're still going to be putting out TikToks and Instagram posts and Facebook and all that stuff. So please check that out. Check out our YouTube and check out warpedrealityparanormal.com, guys, because there's a whole bunch of stuff on there. There's, you know, paranormal news. There's all of our episodes. There's an awesome blog that Ken does a great job on. I read it every single day. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
And he does an excellent job on it. And there's also a section where you could put your paranormal experiences in there. And it's awesome, man. You could even do it anonymously if you want, and we'll read it on the air if you want. If you don't want us to read it and you just want us to kind of, you know, let people know, you know, a little bit about it, that's cool too. You know, just let us know. just, you know, check out warpedrealityparanormal.com. Check out everything that I've said. And, you know, we'll see you in a few weeks. So enjoy your holidays. And, you know, that's about it. All right, everybody. So have a great holiday, I guess. Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho. Peace.
Later. Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. And thank you to all of our guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more information on the show, to listen to every episode, read paranormal news, or to submit your paranormal experience, check out warpedrealityparanormal.com. You could also email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. The Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.